Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
And here we go.
Is a Taliban takeover of Afghanistan now inevitable?
No, it is not.
Previous administration negotiated an agreement with the Taliban.
He should be less focused on trying to blame this on someone else than to solving the problem of making sure that we protect and defend American security. This did not happen on our watch.
Sorry.
This is Devious Motives with Brett Winterbull.
I'm Brett Winterbull. This is Devious Motives. We look at the collapse of Afghanistan and we shake our heads in abject disgust. It's not lost on me. And I'm gonna be taking some partisan shots here. Sorry if anybody's offended, but the same vice president who sat idly by as Benghazi and our mission in Benghazi was attacked by radical Islamic terrorists, and there was no air support. Yeah, you had to rely on retired former special operators. You had to rely on contractors to go out there and save lives there at Benghazi. The same vice president is now the president of the United States, and the exact same thing is happening in Afghanistan. Now we are going to have to just rely on private contractors, operators, international efforts to go and rescue Americans. And the fact of the matter is, this notion that we tried really hard to reach out to these folks and tell them that they had to leave, I would hate to be somebody on a road with a drunk that came from one of these people's parties going out there. Well, we told him he shouldn't drive home drunk. Take the keys. We told him he shouldn't drive drunk, that there was a risk of harm or death or something like that. We told him, we tried to reason with him, and we told him, we said, don't drive home. And then he got in the car and he drove home. This is disgraceful. And this is not a hard thing to understand. I'm talking to kids, and I mean kids, I mean high school kids, about this very story of what just happened in Afghanistan. And these are kids who are either inclined or were curious about potentially signing up to the U.S. military to support the country, to work for our nation. And they said to me, to a person, wait a minute. How many more years will Joe Biden be the president of the United States? Oh, 3.5 more years? I don't think I'm going to consider that as an option right now. I promise you, this conversation is being held around the country. To watch the father, and I'm not going to play the sound, it's been played, but to watch the father of the fallen soldier talk to Sean Hannity and tell the world how disgusted he was that Joe Biden kept looking at his watch during the transfer of the remains of our American fallen heroes, like he had someplace else to be. I don't understand this. The notion that we know as we speak, girls and girls' schools are being machine gunned. And there's just silence. Where the hell is the pussy hat crowd? And I'm not joking. Linda Sarsour, one of the organizers of the pussy hat crowd protests. Where's Linda Sarsour? Where's Madonna? I have often thought a lot about blowing up the White House. Well, I got news for you. Schools over in Afghanistan are being blown up right now. Innocent people are losing their lives. This is an incredible thing. I look at this and I say, wait a minute, hold on. In the attack on Benghazi, you had woke generals refuse air support to the compound. You relied on private contractors that were retired special operators. And in this case, you had woke generals, General Milli Vanilli himself and others, refused to go and render aid to the Americans that were out there. And the dismissal coming from Tony Blinken was, well, we called them and we told them, you better go. There's audio of women on a tarmac crying because they couldn't get into the airplanes. Do you know that there were 6,000, I think is the final tally, 5,000 or 6,000 Americans that got out on the flights? And the rest are international people, meaning Afghans and others. They're bragging about getting 130,000 people out in the airlift. 6,000 are Americans. So I'm just going to do the math here real quick. That's 125,000 that are not, but you couldn't get the other 250, 300, 400 people to get them on the plane, right? Gotcha. Understood. We are witnessing a parade of failure, the likes of which I do not believe we'll ever come back from. And you may disagree with that. And I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat. I don't care. If Trump's doing this, I'm calling him out. Biden's doing this, I'm calling him out. I don't care who the president is. I care about our standing in the world. And I want to know why $85 billion in technology got transferred to the Taliban. I want to know why they have our uniforms, our guns, our night vision goggles, all of that, all of those uniforms, all of those guns, all of the goggles, all of the technology, those can be used in a terrorist attack. They can be used to conceal your identity. You can go in and try to fade in like a soldier going to a secure location and then suicide bomb it. This thing is insane. And I still continue to run across these geniuses on the socials who want to come at me and say things like, They were told to leave. They didn't leave. So now not leaving is a death penalty, Kyle. That's a death penalty, right? Not leaving is a death penalty. This is the sort of conversation that's going on around the country. I'm getting emails, text messages. I'm getting phone calls from friends of mine who are saying, I can't believe what we're watching. I can't believe that we're just sitting here and there's no good explanation for why we pulled out like this. I don't care what the president says, whatever. We bailed. We folded. We said, you know what? This is a situation that we're not going to live up to our word because of the way this is going. We just don't have the ability to help anybody out. You know, it's just, look, here's the attempted explanation by Jake Sullivan, the national security advisor, who I think ought to be unemployed, but they'll keep him because he's a perfect emo fit for this team. I'm a little salty on this stuff today. When I'm hearing the audio of children and young girls being killed, when I'm seeing that they left service dogs behind, when I'm seeing the effort that was really not put into getting anybody else out, and you just left people sitting on buses and in vehicles who'd been sitting for 9 and 10 hours to try to get through the checkpoint, nobody came to save them, and it's young girls, it bothers me a lot. I still believe that men have a responsibility to protect women. I know I'm old-fashioned. I don't care, but I will tell you this right now before I play you some Jake Sullivan. If you are an adult of any kind, you need to go out and teach your daughters how to shoot, or you need to take your daughter to a range and have a professional teach her how to shoot, because the only way we're going to avoid a repeat performance of this is our Second Amendment has to be protected, and you should teach your daughters how to become proficient with a firearm, because you don't ever know where and under what circumstances they may find themselves in a place where women haters are hunting women. They could be overseas. At least they can handle a Glock. Teach your daughters how to shoot. Teach your sons how to shoot too, and your spouses. Everybody should know how to shoot a gun, as far as I'm concerned. But this is just so profoundly sad. Here's Jake Sullivan, little Jakey Sullivan, explaining the rationale for what it was, what went down.
The small number who remain, we are committed to getting out, and we will work through every available diplomatic means with the enormous leverage that we have and that the international community has to make that happen.
That we have? You got a mouse in your pocket, Jake? What do you mean that we have? What leverage do we have over the Taliban? We gave them the $85 billion in armaments. The State Department's now got an alert out. Do not travel to Afghanistan. Wow, I thought everything was cool and we could just get our people out. Now there's a do not travel to Afghanistan warning coming from the Department of State. That's Tony Blinken's operation. But we have a lot of power to leverage with the Taliban. We can tell them that we won't give them helicopter. No, they got the helicopter. Up armored. No, they got that. Uniform? No, they got uniform. No, night vision goggles? No. Jets? No. Tanks? Armored personnel? No, no, no. They've got everything. They got $85 billion worth of stuff that they can just liquidate out there on the international terror market. You understand that? My God. I mean, this is insane. So here's Jake Sullivan, the national security advisor. And he comes out and he says, you couldn't make a tough call like this. Joe Biden made a tough call. He made the tough call. Joe Biden is a tough man making tough calls. Here's Jakey Sullivan.
Leadership means taking a look at the situation and asking the hard question, what is going to be in the best interests of the United States of America, those American citizens still in Afghanistan, and those Afghan allies? And he got a unanimous recommendation from his Secretary of State, his Secretary of Defense, all of his civilian advisors, all of his commanders on the ground, and all of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, that the best way to protect our forces and the best way to help those Americans was to transition this mission. At the end of the day, the question will be, did we protect those American citizens? Did they get out if they wanted to get out? We believe that we will get out any person who wants to get out, and we will have completed that mission. And those who are criticizing are not the ones who have to sit in the Situation Room and make the hard calls about the threats that we face and the objectives we're trying to obtain. And President Biden made that hard call, and it is a call he believes will ultimately serve the interests of our people, all of our citizens, and our country.
God, it's got to be so comforting for people who are living and laying in abject fear tonight there in Afghanistan in an apartment, and they hear the Taliban are going through the streets and they want to murder people, and they're laying there going, God, I know I'm terrified. I know I'm going to be potentially killed by these maniacs. I know, but you know what? You know what makes me feel good? You know what makes me feel really good? I mean, I'm going to get tortured and killed. And what makes me... Joe Biden showed so much leadership. I'm so proud of my president, even though he won't get me out of the country because he sold us out. Arguably, Benedict Arnold level violation. I mean, people are going to be mad. Be mad. I don't care. You want to be mad about what I'm saying? I'm being honest. We're sitting here within eyesight. We're sitting here within 12 days of 9/11. And, you are not safer. You are no safer today. You are no safer today than you were at 7 o'clock in the morning on September 11th, 2001, just before the attacks took place. We are exactly back to square zero, to square one or square zero. We're even actually back. But Jakey Sullivan says we can pressure the Taliban. We can pressure them with aid. No, really, aid, food aid, crops, other aid, and then some more aid. We've got 100 countries on board ready to pressure the Taliban, and we're gonna pressure them on the aid. Here, check it out.
We do believe that there is an important dimension of humanitarian assistance that should go directly to the people of Afghanistan. They need help with respect to health and food aid and other forms of subsistence, and we do intend to continue that. Secondly, when it comes to our economic and development assistance relationship with the Taliban, that will be about the Taliban's actions. It will be about whether they follow through on their commitments to safe passage for Americans and Afghan allies, their commitment to not allow Afghanistan to be a base from which terrorists can attack the United States or any other country, their commitments with respect to upholding their international obligations. It's going to be up to them. And we will wait and see by their actions how we end up responding.
Don't make us come up there, Mr. Taliban. Don't make us come over there, Mr. Taliban, or we're not going to let you have any peas. 33 Black Hawk helicopters, 169 armored personnel carriers, 22,000 armored Humvees, and 358,000 rifles. That's what we sent to the Afghan military. That's all basically in the hands of the Taliban now. But we're going to deny them the aid. You won't deny anything to them. You know why? Because Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar and Adam Smith from Washington State will go on TV on a Sunday show with Crazy Maisie Hirono, and they'll go, they're going to starve the Afghan people. They're going to all be starving. They're going to die. You can't deny aid. What kind of a Nazi would deny aid to the poor people? Okay, let's play the game this way. Who controls Afghanistan? The Taliban. That's right. The Taliban controls Afghanistan. Who's in charge of accepting aid coming into Afghanistan? The Taliban. Come on. So they're going to take the aid. They're going to sell the aid. They're going to trade the aid. They're going to convert the aid to cash. They're going to convert a lot of these weapons to cash. They don't need armored personnel vehicles. They need like maybe 1,000 of those. They don't need all those Black Hawk helicopters. They'll sell those to the Chinese and the Iranians. They don't need up-armored Humvees. They don't need MRAPs. They don't need all that. They can just sell all this. All this stuff becomes, it's like when the looters loot stores during riots and they tell you it's for social justice. Oh, George Floyd, George Floyd. No, it's they're looting because they want to make money. It's why they take their skateboards and smash windows. All right. This is all it is. As far as the Taliban is concerned, this is just reparations. They're just going to call this reparations. Yeah, I saw President Biden look at his watch 13 times. I mentioned that in the beginning of this podcast. But this is insane. This idea that we left Americans behind, I can't even imagine this. I never could have imagined this. So when I talk to people and they may express an interest in possibly joining the military, I'm going to tell them, well, just make sure you have a president in office who might actually want to try to get you back. Because as of now, the only person Joe Biden has ever been connected to rescuing is Bo Bergdahl, and he traded 5 Taliban bosses for that, including a Baradar who's now running Afghanistan. So I got a question from Cameron who wants to know, why can't we just turn around and bomb Afghanistan? Like, why couldn't we go back and level Bagram, level the Taliban airport at Kabul? Why couldn't we go back? Because we have Americans on the ground. The reason why you get the Americans out is you have more options. If you have Americans left on the ground, you have human shields. You have human shields. So it is of no benefit to leave Americans behind if you could possibly avoid it, because it limits your options by which you can do your thing. And now that there are Americans on the ground in Afghanistan, something very clear is obviously coming to mind, and that is other terrorist groups are going to try to obtain these Americans. So I don't know that you're not going to find a Taliban commander who's not going to be willing to trade to ISIS-K for $500,000 and a ticket out of Afghanistan because he's had it with the fighting. I don't know. This is going to become currency. In a place where you have no functioning economy, everything is currency. Water is currency. TVs are currency. Sex is currency. Drugs are currency. Everything is currency. Currency just happens to be green pieces of paper and credit cards in our culture. But the fact of the matter is, these hostages are now currency. This is what they are. And so I just wanted to jump in here and give you my analysis of what it is that we just saw take place in these last 24 hours. Now, I hesitated to comment in the aftermath of the suicide bombing because there were going to be a lot of ebbs and flows. And the reality is we didn't exact any revenge for the suicide bombing and the murder of 13, 14 American heroes, because there are American heroes who are in critical condition and may pass away as a result of their wounds. We don't know any of that, okay? But what we do know right now is that the Taliban is in control, and we have basically thrown in the towel in terms of confronting them. So what happens if, God forbid, we have another 9/11 situation? Well, Joe Biden gave you that answer, and he gave you that answer just in the last couple of weeks. He said, no, there's not going to be another 9/11 coming from the United States. So if another 9/11 happens and it emanates out of West Africa, Joe Biden's going to look like a genius. The problem is Joe Biden's never been right on a foreign policy matter yet. Hasn't. There are two amazing sound bites I want to kind of leave you with here, because I thought the guy got it spot on, and he's not somebody I would normally be playing sound from. Richard Engel is an NBC correspondent. I think he's their chief foreign correspondent. And when asked to sum up basically what it is we all just learned as a result of this pullout, I think he summed it up very eloquently. Normally, I've kind of rolled my eyes when I'd see him do coverage, but I think he was being sincere when he talks about this. This is the first clip about what the takeaway from what we just watched in this surrender was.
If you step back and you look at what is going on, this is the United States after 20 years. This war used to be called Operation Enduring Freedom, and it's turned out not to be enduring and they're not leaving behind a society that is free. It is only free according to what the Taliban says it will be free. If the Taliban promises that it will be free. So you could also look at this as a tremendously humiliating moment of American humiliation,
right.
Leaving, forced to leave on the Taliban's clock and with the Taliban's good graces. So tactically it makes sense, but I'm not sure how history will. I think history will judge this moment as a very dark period for the.
Very dark period. Here's how he ultimately closes out the analysis in this. This set off a lot of people who don't like to hear him say things that are against the Biden administration.
The worst capitulation of Western values in our lifetimes. You left behind. I went to Afghanistan. I arrived a couple of weeks ago. It was a republic backed by the United States, backed by the West. Now it is an emerging Islamic emirate.
The person I think the most about in the wake of all of this is Johnny Spann. I've been thinking about Johnny Spann for the last 2 or 3 weeks. Johnny Spann was the first person to lose their life in a shootout there in Afghanistan, back with Johnny Walker Lind. Remember at the Mazar-e Sharif prison center that resulted in an uprising with these folks who were trying to fight off the American forces. And Johnny Spann was actually a CIA officer who was there working, and he ended up getting shot and killed by the Taliban fighters who rose up in an insurrection there at this detention facility. And that resulted in Johnny Walker Lind, who was originally the American Taliban. They called him the American Taliban. You can look him up. He was from Washington State and Marin County and all these places. He's a freak who is all about the Taliban and bin Laden and all that sort of stuff. And I know got convicted, got put in prison, and got out of jail. Johnny Spann died. And when he died, he had a newborn baby, either born or on the way. And he lost his life in this fight in a noble way. And he's a hero. He's a hero. Nobody remembers that name. I've remembered that name for 20 years because I wanted to remember the very first person that sacrificed in the wake of September the 11th in that way. And to sit back here 20 years later and think about those about 20-year-old 13 service people who were defending our country, who lost their lives, and to think of Johnny Spann, who is at the other end of the spectrum 20 years ago, is very sad and very heartbreaking. The reality is, war is a horribly tragic thing, and if you rush into a war, you will oftentimes find it difficult to get out of the war. But the first time in American history that I can recall, I don't remember ever seeing a group of people so excited about losing a fight as we've seen with the Biden administration. Frankly, I think every one of them bears responsibility for what it was that we just saw play out. And I know that they're going to tout how the success went and how successful they were and how great everything is. This is horrible. This is horrible. And I think what we need to do is to demand a much higher standard if we're going to ever go into another conflict again, because there's no accounting for incompetence. I'm Brett Winterbull. This is Devious Motives, the collapse of Afghanistan and the defeat in the war on terror.
Devious Motives with Brett Winterbull.